Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friends of the forest, gather round, for a most magical celebration is upon us. Our centenary. Tis a momentous occasion, for today marks the grand spectacle of the 100th episode of the Earth Rangers podcast. Let me regale you now with tales of yore when the Earth Rangers podcast was but a wee sprout in the vast wilderness. 'Twas a time of brave exploration and daring animal adventures, long ago in the ancient era of 2018. 2018? That's like 6 years ago. What? That is crazy. The time has just flown by. I mean, well, figuratively and literally. I spent a significant amount of that time flying around the world. We've gone to Africa, Asia, Australia, countless national parks, underwater, into caves, rainforests, deserts, even backwards in time once. Well, sort of, in a burrito-addled dream. The point is, we've spoken to so many people. Environmental scientists, researchers, filmmakers, politicians, architects, conservationists, paleontologists, marine biologists, the list, it just goes on and on and on. I got to search for Adelia Goodwin, eventually find her, and kind of find myself in the process. I got to learn and grow by reconnecting with what I love about nature and making a ton of friends along the way. I guess what I'm trying to say is thank you. Thank you for sharing all of these adventures with me and for sending in your stories and animal facts and jokes and pictures. Getting to talk with all of you and getting to spread the word about how incredible our planet is just inspires me and drives me forward every day. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional. I'm so grateful we've gotten to do so much and learn so much together. And I hope we get to do 100 more. Speaking of which, that's the theme of today's episode, hundreds. We're going to do a little bit of investigation to see if there are any hundreds that just occur naturally, in nature. So, let's get started before I turn 100, and let the centenary, start. All right, hundreds of hundreds. Well, not hundreds of hundreds, maybe one or two hundreds. Here's the real question. Which hundred should we focus on? The way in which identical twins share 100% of the same DNA? Or, ooh, how about the fact that Galapagos giant tortoises can live to 100 and beyond? Or the way in which hundreds of rings in old-growth trees document the hundreds of years that they've grown for? No. Wait, I've got it. This is perfect. Let's make our 100th episode, our centipod, if you will, about a creature that is literally named after 100. The centipede. It's true. The word centipede comes from Latin. It comes from combining centa, meaning 100, and pede, which comes from pes, which means foot. So centipede literally means 100-footed. And just from looking at them, you can see why they're named that way. But do they really have 100 feet or legs? I mean, well, why would they have different number of feet and legs? That's not the point. Here's what I do know. There are close to 3,000 documented distinct species of centipede, and it's estimated that this is less than half of the actual amount. Many entomologists, that's a word for bug scientists, actually think that the number is closer to 8,000. But just keeping the actually documented species in mind, they look so different. For example, the Hoffman dwarf centipede, that's the smallest centipede, it's less than half an inch long, just 12.7 millimeters. And the largest centipede in the world, the Scolopendra gigantea, It can be over 12 inches long. That's 30 plus centimeters. A word which also, coincidentally, gets its name from the number 100. See the similarity? The Hoffman comes from North America. You can actually find them all over Central Park in New York City. But the Scolopendra gigantea, or SG for short, they only live in the Amazon rainforest. Thank goodness for that. Thank goodness for that. Just for a sense of scale, an average chihuahua is 10 inches from its cute little snout to its itty-bitty tail. The average Pomeranian is 11. So that means that Scolopendra gigantea has 1 to 2 inches on both of them. That is a very, very big bug. Huh. It's crazy. You're telling me that both of these creatures have the same number of legs? I mean, I don't know. But then again, back to dogs. I mean, dogs have the same number of legs as elephants, and they're dramatically different sizes. So then maybe it is possible. But how can we tell? I mean, I know, I could just search it on the internet, but I think, in honor of our 100th episode, we should do some good old-fashioned fieldwork. And not in some exotic locale, right here in our own backyard. Earth Rangers, let's design an experiment. Theses, data, facts, experiments. This is literally the perfect activity for our 100th episode. Because this is some full-on actual scientific inquiry. It's kind of the invisible piece of the Earth Rangers podcast. Like, every fact I've ever told you, every animal profile, every bit of climate science that I've shared, it all started with and was discovered through experiments. And you know, I don't think we've ever talked about it before. Designing experiments is essential. It's the basic scientific approach to understanding the world around you. And when designing an experiment, figuring out the questions that you want to ask is just as important as the answer you want to get to. Like, how should I put this? If you're trying to figure something out, you know, maybe how fast a horse is, which plants prefer shade, or, question du jour, how many legs a centipede has, you don't want to guess at what the answer may be before you even start experimenting. That's not good science. That's not inquiry based on observing and gathering information in an objective or truthful way. But luckily, there are 5 easy steps to make sure that your experiments are solid and follow the scientific method. Step 1. Formulate your question. In our case, we know the question, and it happens to be, despite its name, how many legs does a centipede really have? Step 2. Fill in your understanding with background research. This is where you might find out that another scientist has already done work on or even answered your question, which is great. But there's also a lot of value in figuring out things for ourselves. And today, we want to head out into the field and be hands-on. That said, we've already done a bit of background research, like the information I started with about the biggest and littlest centipedes. That technically counts. Also, I happen to know that centipedes like to live in dark, moist soil under dead leaves, rocks, and mulch. So I have a pretty good idea where to look for them. Which leads us to step 3. Hypothesizing. This is the step where, based on the research we've done, we make an educated guess about the outcome of our experiment. In this case, my hypothesis is, centipedes probably don't have 100 legs. They likely have a range of different foot/leg amounts, but I'm not just guessing. I think this because of how big the difference is between the smallest and largest type of centipedes. Now, here we are, finally, at my favorite step. Step 4, designing the experiment. This is the heart of the process. This is where we have to ask ourselves, if our hypothesis is, despite their name, we think centipedes have different amounts of legs and probably not 100, then we need to look at least 2 different types of centipedes and see how many legs they have, if it's 100, and if it's the same for both specimens. So what I propose is that we head out into the woods beside Earth Rangers HQ and, using what I know about centipedes, i.e. that they like to live in dark, moist soil, gently lifting up some rocks to expose soil like that and find some. Then, once I locate my specimens, gently place them into clear containers with holes for breathing so that I can count how many pairs of legs each of these creepy crawly critters has. Which leads us to step 5. Reviewing the information you've gathered, seeing if it supports or disproves your hypothesis, and then adding this new info to your understanding. This is a super important step. Whether your hypothesis was right or wrong, you're still gonna learn something new. And adding that new piece of info to your understanding of a topic is, well, it's kind of how science works. It's always changing and growing. And adding that new piece of info to your understanding is how science works. It's always changing and growing. Well, it looks like I gotta go and find some glass or clear plastic jars, some scissors to poke holes on top so my centipede friends can breathe, and also maybe some gloves, maybe? I mean, I want to study them, but I don't really want to touch them. I'll catch you in a bit. Here I am, out in the majestic wilds of Vaughan, Ontario, searching for some live arthropods. That's the family of bug centipedes belong to. Oh, exciting being out here doing field work. Okay, I think I have everything. I got my jars, got my gloves. Okay, well, I guess I'll just start turning over rocks and see what I see. All right, rock number one. Oh. We got a worm. There's a worm, and there's a couple of mites. No centipedes here. Let's try another one. How about that one? Okay. Nope, we're not doing this one. This is a heavy rock. Too heavy. Maybe we'll just chill on that rock. Okay. I like the look of this one. It's kind of snuggled right into the roots of a tree. I think that if I wiggle it, kind of twist it out. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. Oh no, they're getting away. No. Go to my jar. Oh, not on my hand. No, not on my hand. Okay. Lid on. Wow. Okay, that was a lot more intense than I thought it would be. Science can surprise you. Okay, well, let's see what I got. I got dirt. I got a lot of dirt. And a bunch of potato bugs, and a worm, and I got one. If I'm not mistaken, this is none other than a brown centipede. They're super common here in Ontario. They average between 18 to 30 millimeters in length, about an inch for our American friends. They're reddish brown in color, and they have an interesting double tail, which looks almost identical to their antennas. This is so they can confuse predators and prey by making it tricky to tell which end of their body is the head and which is the bottom. Now, having your head and your bottom look exactly the same wouldn't be my first choice, but it's actually pretty effective because it allows them the element of surprise. You know, like, oh, you thought I was leaving? Mm-mm, guess again. I'm rushing towards you and biting you with my highly poisonous pincers. Yeah. Well, poisonous for bugs. No real effect on people. Okay, should we do our first count? Okay, I'm gonna set the jar down so all the creatures inside settle. I don't want to stress them out. Let's see. Okay, I think I'll just count on one side and then double it. It's pretty small, but I think I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So only 30 in total? Well, that's way lower than I thought. Let me double check my work on the other side. Okay, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Oh, even less on this side. I guess our friend is missing a foot. So definitely not 100. Not even close. Well, that's one part of the hypothesis. Only one more specimen needed to confirm. You know, before I continue with my rock turning over, I'm kind of curious. If I put my microphone up close to the container, do you think I can capture some arthropod ASMR? Let's see. Oh, that's so gross. So gross, but so tingly. This is fun. Hey, Earth Rangers, did you know that centipedes have a special kind of venomous claw called a forcipule? Okay, So, While my face and microphone were super close to the jar, I made a wholly new discovery. Turns out, I actually captured 2 centipedes. Or I did. Now I just have 1 again. What I'm trying to say is a whole other centipede, was hiding in the dirt I scooped, and it just popped out and grabbed and kind of ate the first one. It's a centipede-eat-centipede world in there. Huh, okay. I mean, generally, you don't want one specimen eating the other, but on a more positive note, I seem to have accidentally streamlined my process. Come on, let's take a closer look at this one. Very interesting. I think what we have here is an eastern red centipede. They're much bigger than brown centipedes, coming in at 2.5 inches or 6.5 centimeters. They have long, red, sleek bodies, and even though you'd think their color would give them away, these belegged wormies are terrific hunters, which I think we can all agree checks out. Now, unlike our first centipedes, these ones can actually do some damage. They're known for having a particularly painful bite, so I'm pretty glad that there's a layer of glass between me and those chompers. Now let's get down to business. Let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 12, 21, 23. Bigger bug, fewer feet. That wasn't what I was expecting. You're a master of surprises, little dude. Well, there you have it. Our hypothesis was correct, but not for the reasons I originally thought. And while our centipede friends might not live up to their name, they are 100% fascinating. I think I'll put him back now, but before I go, I just want to say thanks again for sharing 100 episodes with me. You know, if you have any favorite moments or facts you've learned along the way, I would love to hear them in the app. I'm sure your memories will jog a bunch of my own. Anywho, here's to 100 more. Let's keep doing science and keep on ranging. Bye!
Earth Rangers!
Are you a fan of cryptids like Bigfoot? Do you like ancient monsters like the Kraken? Are you ready to face the scariest creature of all? The unicorn? Welcome to The Weirdness, an exciting journey into the weird and unexpected. Join Arlo and Sierra as they host a podcast called The Weirdness, dedicated to exploring the unexplained and weird phenomena, like the Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, the Chupacabra, and more. Unfortunately, they've never actually witnessed any of this weirdness until they track down Bigfoot himself. Turns out, the weirdness is real. And it's everywhere. Now, Arlo, Sierra, and Bigfoot, whose nickname is Beef, set off on a mind-blowing road trip adventure across the globe to find out why the creatures of legends are disappearing and solve the mystery of the creep. Listen to every episode of The Weirdness now on Apple Podcasts or on gzmshows.com. Binge every episode and find every ridiculous creature of legend before they disappear. Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual. And best of all, you can turn on captions. And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM Shows on YouTube.